So, as we're continuing our discussion of psychology, one important student of Freud is Carl Jung, and Carl Jung's understanding of, all the successive students of Freud took the writings of Freud, Freud's ideas in different directions. Different directions, different understandings. Jung has struck a chord that, even while there are a lot of people who don't read Freud straight, or will read Freud straight, don't utilize Freud necessarily just within his world, the students of Freud, building on his theories and understanding that he struck on certain concepts, then explored and explained them into different aspects of life. And as well, what happened is that of the different students of Freud, Jung is one that figures prominently with a very, very strong following in school to this day. The people are, as you can see, there are people with the Jungian websites that Jung's take on psychoanalysis and psychotherapy is still very, very popular. When I studied psychology here, the only modality that was studied here when I was here for the most part was more of a CBT type function, a CBT style cognitive behavioral therapy approach, and psychoanalysis didn't get a lot of airtime or a lot of screen time, as the case may be. And then as you go down the path, you understand that each modality has something that it's bringing to the table and can add to our understanding of the self and understanding of the person, and oftentimes can add to our picture of the whole of the person. This is one of my friends likes to say, one of my colleagues likes to say, that if, to use an allegory, if we think of psychology and psychological theorem as oftentimes the CBT being the pshat, right? So psychoanalysis sometimes could be the sod, right? If we know that the four different ways that psukim could be understood, the initials of pardes, right? Pardes being an acronym for pshat, the simple level, drush, the homiletic level, remez, where we see different hints of things in the pasuk, and sod, where we're talking about the internal meaning of a pasuk. So then there's pardes, as it were, of the soul, and the truth is the Kohen, Tzadik HaKohen from Lublin, says that for everything in the world, you have multiple levels. We have multiple ways to understand it. We understand how we see it, how we see something simply. We understand the description that our mind gives it. That could be drash. We could understand the remuzim, what it's hinted to, and we see it in oftentimes in Lacanian psychoanalysis, that we have different symbols and we decode them to what they mean. And then there's sod, and then there's a hidden depth which is occurring as well. So, and then in our exploration over here a little bit, understanding the mystery, the sod, Jung works with different parts of the personality, is different archetypes, different pieces of the personality, and one of which is the shadow. Right, the shadow is, as it were, is an archetype that talks about the person's sex and life instincts. Freud referred to it as what you might remember as the libido. Right, as libido is the id, that drive for the physical. So the shadow exists as part of the unconscious mind, is composed of repressed ideas, weaknesses, desires, instincts, and shortcomings. Right? It's a part of you that you want to hide, whether consciously or unconsciously. I guess unconsciously is the case maybe, but part of you that you want to hide, that you know you want to hide, and even the parts that you don't want to hide, know that you want to hide, that you're hiding. The shadow forms out of our attempts to adapt to cultural norms and expectations. It's an archetype that contains all of the things that are unacceptable not only to society, but also to someone's personal morals and values. It might include such things as envy, greed, prejudice, hate, aggression. Jung suggested that the shadow can appear in dreams and visions, take different forms. might appear as a snake, a monster, a demon, dragon, other wild, dark, wild, exotic figure. This archetype is known as the darker side of the psyche, representing wildness, chaos, and the unknown. These latent dispositions are present in all of us, Jung believed, although people sometimes deny this element of their own psyche and instead project it onto others. We've spoken about projection before, the notion of, like the Gemara says, anyone who invalidates, kol ha-posel, b'mumo hu posel. Anyone who invalidates someone or something, it's really their own biases that they're placing onto somebody else. We call this projection. They go and you put it on. So, I'm sorry, I believe I forgot the link to this next section. But the notion then of shadow work. Now, of course, there's a website that talks a little bit about how one can use this this concept in a slightly self-helpy way. This is not an alternative for counseling, and it can, but it's like a workbook type of idea that you can think about yourself and your own thoughts about yourself and your own explanations. Of course, you know, a therapist is always involved in counseling that should be doing. Yes.
Would this apply even if, let's say, someone's pursuing a different therapy than CBT?
A lot of times, so what will happen in CBT is that you're going to deal with, you know, what is. In CBT, the idea is that we're not so concerned with what's going on in the subconscious. We're not so interested in it because it's subconscious. Because it's subconscious, we spoke about last time, the idea in psychoanalytic psychotherapy is that by achieving insight into, you know, the unconscious motives through understanding it, that helps find a mode of catharsis, and as a result will resolve whatever is the cause of the symptom, right? Or the cause of the symptom, the cause of the disorder. The more one explores of themselves, the more insight they'll gain, and then they'll be able to, and that which is causing them displeasure will dissipate, right? And this is done with a therapist that you gain insight through the different interventions and portions, actions of psychoanalysis. In CBT, oftentimes, what you'll be working with is pretty formulaic, attitude, behavior, consequence, right? So A, B, C, right? Things are always you're mapping out, this is what happened, the antecedent, that's antecedent, behavior, consequence. Right, so I see this as my trigger, right? The trigger causes me to do X, and therefore this is what happens. So, looking at the trigger, is there a way that I can change the way that I think to that trigger? Can I change my mind about that trigger? Can I, can I think about it in a different way? Can I find a way to break the cycle of trigger and response? Right, that's oftentimes the way that CBT will function. Sometimes in differing levels, but well. The type of exploration of the shadow self, which is spoken about over here. So this is not so much what would be the within the purview of what CBT would be working on. So probably it's best to do CBT with your therapist. One should do CBT with their therapist with their CBT, right? And deal with that, and then. When you want to pursue this other piece, so then that's something that you pursue in a separate place. Like, because CBT is a lot of times directed towards a specific, set of symptoms or problem or, issue. Psychoanalytic psychotherapy oftentimes will be an exploration which will come about as a result of symptoms, but will go in other places. It's not always, always in terms of finding or dealing with a specific symptom outright. You know what I'm saying?
It's oftentimes you're saying with CBT. Right? What's psychotherapy?
So psychoanalytic psychotherapy. Oftentimes they'll come in with a presenting, but a lot of times there'll be an exploration, and the exploration hopefully will provide insight to the symptoms. But CBT is much more directed towards. Much more directed towards a specific symptom, and as a result, that's why it's much more. This is I'm having a problem with this. Okay, so now we're going to work towards that. sometimes psychoanalysis is a much, much more longer depth exploration. That's more about the insight than necessarily the amelioration of symptoms.
So does someone do psychoanalysis to pre-CBT, let's say? They do psychoanalysis and then do CBT? Like, is that a mahala?
Because
it picks out the trigger, I guess, right? Like you're saying, and then...
Right, so the excavation, if you will, the excavation in psychodynamics takes a lot longer. So the relief won't be, you're looking for CBT, a lot of times you're looking for the relief of an issue. In psychoanalysis, it's much more of a mahalach of thinking, just in terms of general. So it's a longer process oftentimes. Yes?
I apologize if I missed this, but is the shadow kind of like does it exist inherently, or is it only in existence because of the bad actions and negative actions?
So the shadow is formed as a result of all of any drive, right, that the outside world would find is inappropriate.
But it's not inherently a part of our psyche.
Well, I mean, in psychoanalysis, the way that is understood is that these are cognitive structures that are built by the brain. And this is part of how we build our self and our defense mechanisms, and how all of the person's psyche is built as a developmental piece. In the same way, when you have the development of the prefrontal cortex, right, in the body, the prefrontal cortex develops as that gray matter that's the front of the brain, right? Normally, you use the lizard mind model, that the closer and closer you get to the spinal column and the brainstem is the more basic functions, more autonomic functions. And the closer you get towards your forehead is the much more complicated functions of abstract thought. Speech is a little bit further back. In a joke, we used to have a hamster, and the hamster used to sometimes walk over to the corner of the cage and just like stare out into space. And we say, I wonder what the hamster was thinking about. It should just like stare out into space. And I said, I bet she's thinking, I wonder if there'll be lettuce. Right? I wonder if they'll, which is a joke, because hamsters are incapable of wondering if there'll be lettuce. Right? They can know, they can feel care, they can concern, nurturing type of thing. But wonder, there's lettuce, finding the lettuce, but wondering that there'll be lettuce is like a very abstract thought for a rodent brain.
Why is the lettuce?
Exactly. That would be the next step. That's even more like, I'm thinking about lettuce. Why is lettuce? But wondering about if there'll be lettuce, that's already like too far an advanced concept. As the brain develops, right, so more layers of the psyche are added. Which is in terms of everything, and in terms of psychoanalysis, oftentimes it'll be the different mechanisms and different portions of the mind, different pieces of the psyche, different ego states. All of these pieces will be formative in the creation of the person as they are. So they sort of created the child is born as like a tabula rasa, but then as they grow and they learn about the world, so they build these different structures. In CBT, the idea is that whatever the behaviors are, they're learned behaviors. Oftentimes, they're normal behaviors that get out of hand. Like we've spoken about in the past, anxiety is a normal, natural response. It's just it like grows over. And it goes into places where it's just not, it's like a dangerous sense that it's just not needed, right? So like our brains are constantly at this moment sweeping for danger, even though we don't realize that it's constantly doing it. It's sweeping, looking for something dangerous. But what happens with anxiety is that then it just misidentifies everything as being a danger. And, so then we start to have that layer of schema. you know, in terms of CBT, you start to learn these layers of schema, as this is how we think things are going to go, and as a result, act on those themes, even though the information which we're taking in is not exactly the same situation as what the schema are there. Yes, if you had a question?
Yeah, so if you were comparing this directly to Freudian psychology, would the shadow be one-to-one with the id, or are they supposed to be different?
I think it is it would be similar to the id, because it's those drives that are felt to be what's it called. Because, again, Jung was a student, so he took his Rebbe's Torah, and well, he sort of saw it in different things. He saw it as archetypes within the personality instead of pieces of the formative psyche. Right, so there's a different nuance in how it's expressed, so the parts of it are similar.
But is that to say that the shadow is not like entirely reciprocal with the self? So that as you develop yourself,
mm-hmm.
the shadow develops
yeah.
to the same level, to the same intensity.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes. Because with everything, all these different parts of you grow with you.
Isn't there like a concept? I don't know. Like the greater the
Yitzhara. Okay. It's a Gemara, and it's in Sukkah. It's in Kedushin. It's in Sukkah. So these are some. So here's a little bit of a self-helpy piece, of utilizing this Jungian concept again. If we wanted to think about it, so shadow work is the process of getting to know your darkest self and integrating it into your daily life. It's part of ourselves that we are ashamed of or scared of, and we tend to hide it. Is our disowned self. The concept was created by Carl Jung in the 20th century. An easy way to realize that a part of your shadow self is to see the qualities in others that you don't like. Again, this is the same thing. You know, I was going to get swaths of Jung to put in the packet, and then I figured that it's a little bit of a bracha levatala at that point. We do better just to use some of the summarized stuff. Look at the summarized stuff, and if you want to, have readings in Jung, by all means, it's a good thing to do. So, an easy way to realize what it is part of your state. I'm sorry, we said that this is known as projection. So these are some things. Negatives, self-compassion. You need to be able to forgive yourself when uncovering negative qualities. Remember, because part of the idea is oftentimes what will happen is they say, why is the mind hiding? And remembering that the mind is doing all of this. Why do we have defense mechanisms? It's to protect ourselves. The same reason why does a person develop anxiety? There's no blame and shame in having anxiety. It's something which is normal and natural. It's just that it's like having an alarm, which the sensors tune just a little too fine, right? Or when a person has OCD and there are symptoms that keep going. It's not nobody's fault. So the brain is having like a hiccup. There's like a hiccup over there. You keep coming back to it, and so as a result, we learn to think different. Yes.
So shadow work is basically just being introspective about your issues and flaws and trying to figure out the core reason behind it.
A little bit of that, yeah. It's trying to understand that, what that darker piece is, in order to work with it, because we'll see what the importance of that is in a second. You have to be self-aware to know how you're feeling and why you're feeling it. You have to be honest, because lying to yourself will only harm you. And record your discoveries. They will always help you when looking back. We talked about this a little bit when we were talking about ACT also, that the emotions that come up, the feelings that come up, right? So ACT is a very, very different approach. The things that come up ourselves in a meditation practice, you are the teacher of yourself.
What's ACT?
Yeah, acceptance commitment therapy. It's deals with a lot of mindfulness and some of Viktor Frankl's ideas of finding meaning, right? So it's combining mindfulness and meaning, so it's called ACT. It's like a mashup, if you would. So he says, what I like doing before shadow work is free writing. This is when I write anything on paper without stopping for 2-3 minutes. I usually write what's troubling me, and I'm just writing. It doesn't matter what I write about if I get stuck. And I say, for example, you could just repeat like until you gather your thoughts. What's interesting, if you look, they published the Rav Kook Siddur in English. That's a Rav Kook Siddur, Rav Betzalel Na'or, was a great scholar of the writings of Cook and translating it, his works into English. So he writes at the beginning of the Siddur that sometimes prayer is a very psychoanalytic work also. That's funny, because I had this thought as well when I was doing a mindfulness course 2 summers ago, that oftentimes after sitting for a good half an hour doing mindfulness exercise, so then the instructor would say, what's coming up for you? I thought to myself, it's kind of funny, like after we daven, why don't we ask ourselves, like, what's coming up for you? Like, we never really say, well, hey, what's coming up for you? We probably should, because that idea of whatever is coming up, whatever is on our mind, what we're praying on, what we're davening on, that's an important key to where, as well as they say in yeshiva, where we're holding, what we're about, where our concerns are, what our fears are, what's coming up. And we need to ask ourselves a little bit more after we pray, like, hey, what's coming up? What's going on? What's on my mind? So Rav Na'or writes this in the introduction over there, that this is a psychoanalytic nature to prayer also, because we're really moving our body to get in touch with where the soul's really at. Where the soul's at, what the soul's doing, because the soul is in a constant state of davening. It's just that when we move our body into it, then we're davening too. But really, the soul's always davening. So we come in, and so we access different things. So different person starts to daydream during davening. Don't lambast yourself. Wonder, like, what, something's coming up. What's being, what's going on? Instead of like saying, I can't focus, I'm so bad. Say, hey, what's coming up for me? What's coming up? What's bubbling up? So 5 exercises that the author over here says, watching your emotional reactions to certain situations or towards other people. This is a fantastic thing, because again, you ask yourself, what's coming up? So something's there, and there might be somebody that annoys you, right? They get on your nerves, and it's not so you're like, oh, it's not nice to react harshly. The person gets on your nerves, so you sort of like beat that down. But of course, you're not supposed to be nasty to somebody. But like I say, what about it is that to yourself, what about it in that person is really irking me so much? Are they maybe reminding me of me? Are they reminding me of something? What's going on? This is a good way to understand your emotions and what you're trying to hide from yourself. If you don't like someone because they're arrogant, you probably have an arrogant side as well that you're hiding and trying to avoid. By seeing how you react to certain situations and finding patterns in your behavior, you will be able to discover more about your shadow self and things you might not even realize that you have. Try not to react instinctively. Stop yourself and think, why am I acting like this? Yes?
Is Jung saying that it's every part of someone else that you dislike is automatically projection, or is there space for quality or a character type that you maybe just don't jive with, you actually dislike, and something to do with you? But
right, it could. It's not absolute. It's a place for exploration.
Oh, it's not right. Okay.
It's a place for exploration. Say, ooh, that's coming up. Well, what's that about? Is that it irks me because it just irks me? Is it irks me because there's something about me? It doesn't have to be exactly this, but sometimes exactly. So it's kind of like, ooh, but we don't think enough about us, like, yeah, in that way. Yes.
2 questions. One is that, can this relate to a past experience, and then let's say a trauma, and then let's say, or whatever it is that we've developed this part of us as like a protective mechanism, which kind of relates to IFS, like the family system. So like, I'm guessing this is kind of going on the same line as IFS.
Absolutely.
It works hand in hand.
A lot. So a lot of these ideas are built off of each other, listening to different parts of it. Well, Freud was the beginning of a lot of this. So a lot of the different theories are reacting to some strengthening, and some disagreeing with different discoveries that Freud had. Right, so there's certain different points that came up, as the grandfather of psychotherapy. So it started with him, but then there's the different pieces, whether they were rejected or accepted, or enhanced or taken in different directions. Each one is a different idea. You can chart it back. So for sure that the IFS definitely the pieces they are referred can definitely refer to ego states are definitely part of these pieces, can definitely come to these pieces as well. Absolutely.
Is it the goal not necessarily to remove those parts, just that removes anxiety, just being self-aware and understanding them, correct?
Right, so here we're trying to understand, and when we understand it, so the idea partially is that insight, yeah, and sometimes that insight ameliorates the problem. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does. You know, when we're dealing with symptoms, then we're going to want to try to deal with symptoms. But if we're dealing with exploration about and talking about life and really examine life, so then we're not looking to, you know, to get all this done in 10 sessions. This is an exploration that can take, you know, a lot of meetings. So it's a different, you know, it's sometimes it's a different emphasis. Now the symptom might bring you into therapy, and you know, in terms of unearthing pieces, you know, but then sometimes the relief sometimes comes over the course of sessions and discussing and the insight, but not necessarily, you know, journaling and, you know, doing other things. So challenging the good parts of yourself, listening to good qualities, and find the opposite parts of yourself that you don't like. When you consider your selflessness, search for moments where you've been selfish. Try to see whether these negative qualities are present, acknowledge them, and accept them. Right? Have an inner dialogue. This is my personal favorite. When you talk to yourself about a certain problem, it's very much, you'll find that talking to different parts in IFS, right? But talk to yourself about a problem. Usually
what,
trying
what's
to
IFS,
sir? Internal family systems. That, another system in which there are different parts of the person are seen as developed entities within yourself, and sometimes that there are different ones that rise to different occasions, and then sometimes the interaction between the two were less, like the movie Inside Out, like so you have the different pieces, like, and they'll sometimes be in discussion with them as trying to again, all of these is around trying to protect the self, right, and trying to, you know, to aid the self and help the self. But, you know, how all of them mesh, interact, and instruct, all based on learned experiences.
Mm. Sometimes one of them just becomes a dictator.
Yeah, sometimes, exactly.
And it's a good movie, that. Well, it really puts things in perspective. I don't think I would ever have able to have an understanding what that means.
Exactly. It's a big break for and somebody.
Common reference in psychology classes nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm wondering.
I haven't taught a class in psychology in a couple of years, so I believe so. I definitely remember when it came out, the psychotherapist chats that I'm on really blew up around there.
Memes and stuff.
Eh? Oh yeah, go for it. Enjoy. You can now, or if you want, take it with you. Yeah, but back
a shot. The dog psychologist got really excited at the scene
with
the dog.
Sure. So, so then you could ask, why do you feel like this? Is it because this helps a lot in self-discovery as well as getting comfortable with yourself in general? Right? If you remember last week, again, we spoke about the idea of what is my way. Maybe it was two times ago. What is my way? And listening for the answer. Like to say, okay, what is my way? Finally, he says this, that 3-2-1 shadow process. This process is 5 steps. Choose what you want to work with. This could be a person who you have a strong emotional connection to. Describe the qualities of the person. Remember that, to be honest, even if it's something really bad that makes you feel ashamed of mentioning. You should talk to them in your imagination. Tell them what bothers you, what you don't like. Then tell them the things that you don't like about to yourself. Then tell all those things that you don't like to yourself, so you become those bad qualities. I am, I am. Say, I am, I am. By saying them, they'll help you notice what qualities are present within yourself. To finish, one must consciously integrate the qualities in their life. Right? Because part of it, remember, is saying that just letting this dark issue be in the back, then you don't really deal with it because it's just hanging out there in the back. It's just a piece which is repressed. And that's just, so should go around being nasty to people. Should go around being like, you know, acting out on all the dark pieces. The idea is that you should notice where they are, as opposed to leaving them, you know, in the back over there unaddressed. So what I wanted to do then was that jump, as it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev is the end of the week, and the one of the exciting times for Chabad Hasidim is Yotes Kislev, right? The 19th day of Kislev, when there's the Yortzeit of the Maggid of Mizrach, and when the first rabbi of Chabad, or it was Liarshin Eliadi, and then finally, and his son was in Lubavitch. So he was released from prison after he was being slandered to the Russian government. So they make a big celebration out of it. They call it Yotes Kislev, and there's a lot of celebration. They restart the cycle of learning the Tanya. So I figured in anticipation, we have about 20 days till Yotes Kislev, so we might as well just start a little bit with a little bit of an introduction from the Tanya.
What day is it?
Rosh Chodesh is Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, it starts Wednesday night, I think, right? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday. Friday is the actual first day of Kislev. So the Tanya, at the beginning of the first parak, talks about the concept, adoption of two souls. People think that this is a novel idea of the Baal Tanya. It's incorrect. Tanya explains it, but it's really found in the writings of the Arizal, or Chaim Vital, the great student of the Arizal.
The soul of the Shabbos, or like the extra soul you get on Shabbos, or
no? In terms of the soul, we'll see inside right now. This is based on what Chaim Vital explains in Shar Kedusha, that every Jew, whether righteous or wicked, has two souls. Like it says, Neshamot Asher Ani Asiti, I made these souls. That these are two nefashot. The first soul is from what he calls klipa. Klipa meaning the source of impurity. And for is enclosed in a person's blood to give life to the body. Like it says, for the soul of the flesh is in the blood. And from this soul comes the bad character traits, the four evil elements within it, which are anger, arrogance, fire, and water. Anger and arrogance, so he compares them to the four classic elementals, right? Like Captain Planet, remember Captain Planet? No, maybe not. But the four elements that we do know about, right? Maybe from chemistry class, the four elements: anger and arrogance from fire, pleasure from water, right? So then he did. There we go. And then the next paragraph: licentiousness and frivolity from air, because air is light, right? So it's like full of hot air, and that's called the full of light things, not taking things seriously, and sadness and laziness from sadness and laziness from dirt. So there you go: fire, wind, earth, water. You are Captain Planet. Okay, not
Avatar.
Avatar. Okay, fine. Avatar, that works too. Right, the airbender, water bending, earth bending.
So you become a master psychologist.
Exactly, you have to conquer all four. You become all four, right? You can be the avatar of what's it called, the avatar of the elements, but also the good character traits. Right, so the good character traits, compassion, good deeds. This all comes from also comes from Klipat Noga. So in it, the Klipat Noga contains both the bad traits and the good traits. So then, if you look, bottom of page 6, right? So you say that one nation will prevail over the other nation. It's actually this week's parsha, that Rivka is told that there'll be the two nations will wrestle against each other. The body is called the small city, that the two kings rage over it. There's the soul of Kedusha, and the soul, you know, which is composed of both good and bad of the Klipa. Right, good and bad, good traits and bad traits all together, over who's going to win the city. Each wishes the captured rule to say the dominance of the inhabitants according to his will. So So to the two souls, the divine and vitalizing animal soul that comes in the klipa, wage war against each other over the body and all of its limbs. It is the desire and will of the divine soul that they alone rule over the person, and that there should be the limbs should obey her and surrender themselves completely and become a vehicle to her. All right. So we have this idea of these two different souls, and the first soul, the animal soul, the soul composed of the elements, is a soul where the bad character traits are there. You see very, very closely that there's a similar concept to what Jung is speaking about. So in Israel, Rosh Hashiva was known as Rav Shagar, Rav Shimon Gershon Rosenberg. That is on page 7. And we brought him up before. He oftentimes utilizes postmodernism, existentialism, psychology to explain lots of different things, and especially in explaining both Rabbi Nachman and the Baal Tanya. So he has full commentaries on it. So in his sefer, the Shiurim on the Tanya, this is the following chapter. We start talking about the two different souls. It says Mashmaut Tfisata Hara Shel Mikubalim Nogat Gam Tfisat Nefesh Adam. The idea of evil and the works of the Mekubalim also comes to the idea within the person. Just like there are things in the world, there's also a man is a microcosm of the world. The bad parts of us are not moral failings. Hem hu novea min nefesh shel ra, shemekor besitra achora, is that they're coming from, there's a part of us, there's a shadow self, as he would put it. He says, hakoach hara nimsa betoch adam, this koach hara within the person. Karoi besefer tanya nefesh bahamit, this is called the animal soul. And ena ra ke'eder, so he's saying that the shadow self, as it were, and you see over here on the bottom of his footnotes, like on footnote 14 on the other page, see Carl Gustav Jung, the self and the subconscious. Right, so he's reading all of the psychological works in Hebrew.
Can I say Zoom now?
Yeah, v'kasha. Okay, so the Yetzirah, he says, the Nefesh of Bahamas isn't. Just a what's it called? Just a weakness, and it isn't just the opposite of good. Rather, there's a positive force which is there within it also. That it can be used. That a person has a self will, self confidence, the ability to do something, to accomplish. Nitala shvot zot la psychologia shel Jung. One can compare this to the psychological approach of Jung. Haomer shel kol adam yish tzel. Everybody has a shadow, right? Has a shade. Hatzel mesamel et kochot harasha adam einenu muda lahem. It's full of the forces of evil that you don't know about them. Ve umadchikosam, or they're repressed. Yesh le kochot halu todaa mishalahem vehem nevakim lemamesh et atzmam. But that they also want to manifest themselves. Kach shehadrama haishiyutit eina ela hadrama ka ela hadrama kosmit. So that your interpersonal drama, interpersonal is between people. Intrapersonal is within the person. Right? The intrapersonal drama is also the drama which is being played out in the cosmos. that there is a Yetzirah, that there is an idea, an external and an internal. Adam shenofelet lo ta'ava asoy leparasha kekocha elyon menasad litzmamesh darcho, that the idea is that you're trying to, you know, manifest something which is inside of you, like that shadow self. Yesh na mashmur acher l'mavak mipnei yesh lo tafkid. Oh, sorry. Chol, I skipped the line. Lo uvda zu mashmot metafizit. And this thing that you're doing, this thing that you're involved in working with the shadow self, right, has a metaphysical side to it also. Chosar yecholat shel benoni lehizdahot im atov novat mikochot elyonim. In his read of the Tanya, is that our biggest problem is not that, you know, when the Tanya talks about the different types of souls, is that it's our inability to totally, totally acquaint ourselves with good, because we have drives in other directions. And this is and why is that? This is because this is something that we're wrestling with. Yeshna mashmur acher l'mavak. There's another meaning to that fight. Mipnei sheyesh lo tafkid. There's a purpose to it. Me'ein zeh omer admor hazaken al ha'beinoni. Hara nimsa etzlo betokfo ketoldato. Therefore, the Tanya says that the ra, the bad in them, the shadow in them, is existent with all of its strength. Elishu eno mudalakach, but he doesn't understand it. He doesn't know that. Lachen hu matzoi b'mavak timidi betocho. He's constantly in a battle against these forces. Mavak nitesh b'nefesh elokit, nefesh b'hamit ha-shoefet l'ra. Between the good and the will to ra. This is the piece from Tanya we just saw. Nefesh adam, and the person is in the middle of this war between the two souls. And he says, understand that it's not a war against your weaknesses. It's not just, oh, you're weak, so that's why this. The good and bad within me are real things. It's not, oh, you know why you're doing things? Because you're weak. Oh, well, you know, okay, you know, you're weak. That's not because you're weak. There's within you these two. There's a shadow to yourself, right? The Yetzer Hara is an entity within you. Who rotzeh l'shtalel al avushim shel adam, ha-machshava dibor ma'asa. Le'el ra'inu Rav Kook. We saw above in the previous chapter, Rav Kook talks about it also. Madu yediyah ze choshuva be'enav. So what do we gain from this? And we'll end up with this also in a second.
I'll
send a link. What's it called? For the 11 o'clock. Just left. Yeah.
Not in person.
Exactly.
Okay. So we have just one class at
11. 11, yes.
Zoom.
And Nikudam would guess it by the very Rav Kook. He achid mirkazit gametanya. He avoda shadam tofes et harashabo lo kerash u yetzer el kerash Hashem bara kechelik min haroa klali hakim baolam. So it's not that. So when you understand that the shadow within me, right, is not. It's not just here, but it's about the shadow in the rest of the world as well. Nikuda zu chosechet be'adam rikshe ashamam yutarim. So, and this point sometimes brings with a person a great amount of shame. Lo pam kasher anu mezahim et hara betochenu lafimim gam mezahim ito. Zohi bebechinatenu hochacha shalachen anuraim sheko atov shenim zebanu hu kozev. And oftentimes a person feels like, well, you know what? If I'm not perfect, I can't be perfect. So then I'm broken. And if I'm broken, what's the point of me, right? If I feel that there's a bad part of me, so then I must be bad. And if I'm bad, what's the point? He says, no, that's totally the opposite, because the idea is that the truth is that this is the constant struggle of all of mankind. It's not that it's just, oh, you know, why you have Yetzirah, so that means that there's something wrong with you. It's not true. The truth is that that's part of who you are. That's part of the world's struggle. It's part of who you are as well. הדבר הזה מיוחד אצל טיפוס החסידים מחבס להזדהות עם נפשו. עלול לשמש ראיה לכך שהרע הצל הינו אמיתי לגביו יותר מאשר הטוב. אך ברגע שניתנה אובייקטיביזם כמו של הרע בתוכו, הרי שלא פעם סיבוכים רעים הולכים ומתבטלים מפני שמבטר מתחבר, כי איננו בעיה אישית שלנו. The fact that there is bad within any of us is not, it's not our problem. It's not, we're not broken because of it. That's part of the struggle. And as we say, the struggle is real. Right? That's part and parcel of who we are. ואחר שהאדם מזהה שיש גם רוע אובייקטיבי, נשאל השאלה מה אמורה להיות המסקנה מכך. So then, so what? So, jumping down. It says, תפיסה כאן דומה לדרך של פסיכולוגית של יונג, שלפיה אם מחשים לרע, טוענים שהוא חולשה נובעת מטיפשות, if we think that evil within us is just you're weak, or that you're stupid, לא רק שלא פותרים בכך, we're not answering the problem, אלא בהכרח מעצימים אותה, making the problem worse. אולם כאשר אדם מכיר ברע כחלק ממה שקיים בו, when a person understands that no, within us is a yetzer hara, and that who yeh muchan lihit modedut hakasher ito, and our job is to work with it. As hu yachol gayes lo avoda yikarit mutalat alav avoda hitafcha kiloma hafchito to roa latov, and therefore in the same way like we were talking about in Jung. In the shadow work, right? It's not to say, oh, you know what? There's bad in you because it, so therefore you should understand that you're defective. You're bad. There's something wrong. Rather, we have these deficiencies. We know about these deficiencies. And there's within our ability the same way to turn them around, to redeem them, to uplift them. Because like the Tanya says, within them is good and within the soul, there's nefesh bahamid is good and bad. And within it, therefore, is our ability to lift it up, to redeem it. In the same way that Jung is talking about, this idea of finding the shadow self, and then learning about the shadow self, redeeming the shadow self as a guide for us. Right? That's a fantastic concept. That's a really, really fantastic concept. As Shigar is bringing this to us, that this idea in the Tanya is very close to the shadow self. The shadow self, yes, there's bad in it, of course. Because it's bad that, you know, there's things that we find there's a shadow. But our challenge then is to uplift it. Our challenge is to find it and to employ the avodat Hashem. As we know, the Gemara says that if they daven, there shouldn't be a Yitzhahara at all. And then the world couldn't progress. It has to be there. It has to be there as part of uplifting it. There's nothing wrong with there being the shadow self. Part of it, we put it there. It's our job to reach in there and to deal with it. To work with it, because it's workable. Nobody's perfect, and that's what the Tanya is saying. Also, nobody's perfect. There's bad in each person, and it's just like there's bad in all of the world because of Kabbalah stuff. And it's our job to redeem that.